Federal leaders like you know that modernizing IT requires updated technology and a culture shift. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
The Postal Service is among the most capital-intensive federal entities. In fact, it's planning to nearly double its rate of capital spending over the next 10 years compared to the last 10. That translates to $2.4 billion a year. Auditors at the Government Accountability Office wonder, where will that money come from? Joining me with more, Lori Rectanis, the GAO's Director of Physical Infrastructure Issues. Ms. Rectanis, good to have you back.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
The Postal Service, I guess, has an ambitious requirement, but are they fairly realistic about what they can afford in the next 10 years?
It is true that the Postal Service has quite an ambitious agenda, as you mentioned, about $2.4 billion a year, which is about $24 billion over the next 10 years. However, that is based on the recognition that they really have not done what they've needed to over the past decade. They have significant needs in vehicles and facilities and information technology and equipment. And as a result, their plan is what they need to do. You're right. The question is, will they be able to do it given some of their financial challenges?
And when the Postal Service makes a capital expenditure, say new fleets of trucks, and golly, the delivery vans they have are looking pretty long in tooth these days, at least the one that goes by my house, does this money come out of their income from the same pool that their operating revenues come from? That is to say, what people pay for stamps and delivery.
Correct. Yes. The Postal Service, many people don't realize, does not get federal funding. And so all of the money that they operate on has to come from mailers. And when I say mailers, I don't mean folks like you and me who buy a stamp. I mean these folks who send those things to you, your letters, your cards, your newspapers, your catalogs, the shippers. So in the $70 billion that the Postal Service receives each year, they have to identify of that revenue how much is going to go to operating expenses and how much is going to go to some of this capital spending. And in fact, because of their financial challenges and the losses that they've experienced over the last 7 years, that is also why they've put off a lot of this capital investment. However, now I think you pointed out vehicles. I think they do recognize that these 30-year-old vehicles that cost them about $1 billion a year in maintenance, they don't have the things that you and I would even expect in our vehicles, like air conditioning, power steering, power brakes, those sorts of things. They're not equipped for the packages that the Postal Service is currently delivering. I think they recognize that that is a critical dollar item that's got to come out of that yearly revenue.
And what are their other capital needs with respect to their facilities? Because at the same time, they're looking to rationalize facilities, yet the ones they have, I guess, are much more automated than they were 10, 20 years ago.
Correct. The Postal Service told us that they're not planning on building new facilities per se. However, I think many people recognize that the post offices and the processing facilities they have are old. These are facilities that had, you know, been built many, many years ago, so they do require maintenance and repair. They also are not necessarily configured for the types of changing mail volume that the Postal Service has. And so in some cases, they have to make ceilings higher. They have to make the footprint a little wider, because when you have some of this sortation equipment that is for packages, it needs a different layout. The other thing the Postal Service pointed out to us is when you have systems in these business facilities, the HVAC, things like that, those need to be updated. Those need to be refreshed. We also pointed out that there are surprise things the Postal Service needs to deal with. For example, a facility that was destroyed by Hurricane Maria, Postal Service had to go in pretty quickly, fix that, because we all know after these hurricanes, the Postal Service is one of the first boots on the ground, if you will, to get sort of normalcy restructured. So, you know, they have tens of thousands of facilities, and so that's also an important area for them.
We're speaking with Lori Rectanis, GAO's Director of Physical Infrastructure Issues. And when you talk about the sorting centers with the wrong ceiling heights and maybe some of the wrong infrastructure for moving stuff, it strikes me that probably the state of the art is somewhere in a place like, say, Amazon. Have you ever heard of the Postal Service maybe leasing space within a big, giant Amazon facility, which does exactly what the postal sorting facilities do in some ways?
We have not looked into that specifically. I do know that the Postal Service is exploring a lot of different options to be more efficient and effective in its use of physical space.
Sure, yeah, that was a little bit outside the scope of the study, I guess. And you've also discovered over the years and in this report that even though they don't have the money they need to do everything, the Postal Service does have good processes for capital planning and for prioritizing what they need to do right now with the money they do have.
We did find that the Postal Service has a process that's designed that allows it to be flexible. It not only kind of makes it has a 10-year budget, of course, but then it makes yearly estimates based on what it thinks its revenues are going to be. You know, it goes to each of its groups to sort of make a wish list, and then they establish a general budget for each category. But individual projects do have to be justified and supported, and they are reviewed. And so that does allow the Postal Service to be flexible. If, in fact, revenue is coming in less than they thought, they might approve a project, but approve it for less money, or they might sub-prioritize within those categories. In terms of projects themselves, they put a lot of effort into this, what's called a decision analysis review, or a DAR, and that's sort of each group's justification that says, this is why we need to do this, this is the money we're going to get, this is the efficiency gain, or this is how it's going to help us with the service. So again, we looked at how the processes were designed, and we did feel like they were, you know, set up very well.
And the $2.4 billion that they would like to spend on capital, just by coincidence, is about the same number of dollars that they lose every year off their balance sheets for a variety of reasons. And so when they do spend anything on capital, say $1 billion or $1.5 billion against that losses, where do the other trade-offs come? Because they have some responsibilities they have to meet.
Well, in 2017, the Postal Service actually did not make about $7 billion in payments for its retiree health and pension benefits. And in making that decision, they said, at this time, we believe it's more important for us to save that money, put it over here, almost in their savings account, if you will, because we need to use whatever money we have for capital investments. And so that was an example of where they determined that instead of making those payments for future retirees, they need to make the payments on, you know, vehicles or facilities. And so that kind of a trade-off decision was what they did last year. If they'll make the same decision next year or the year after, I don't know. But you're right. At some point, there are going to be winners and losers. And until we figure out a way to address their business model, they're going to continue to be with winners and losers.
Because if they keep incurring losses, they have so much revenue, they have so much expenditure every year. If they keep incurring losses, that's maybe an accounting situation on the balance sheet. But eventually it's going to come home to roost with a real cash crunch, won't it?
It will come home for a cash problem if they are unable to maintain liquidity. There's two different issues here. A lot of their unfunded the obligations that we talk about, it's sort of like you and I putting aside money for our child's college. At this point, it may not seem real, but the longer it takes us to put that money aside and the less we do, that means when and if our child wants to go to college, there's no money there. And at that point, it's going to affect our balance sheet. But right now, the issue that affects the Postal Service is it's got about $11 billion in liquidity that it's been sort of storing. And it needs that because, one, it wants to spend it on investment, and it kind of wants, you know, to have it for a rainy day. Like you and I would want to have that. The real issue for them is going to come in this year or next year if their revenue does not rise, if their volume continues to fall, they're going to have to start to pull that liquidity out. And so they're the balance sheet this is going to be in the next couple years if they're not even able to make their actual operating expenses on a, you know, payroll and pay rents and things like that. That's when they're going to see it on their actual operating balance sheet.
And in this most recent report, did you have any recommendations for them and or for Congress?
In this report, we did not. We basically found that their processes did meet the criteria we were looking at. And so in that respect, we did not have any recommendations. We have other recommendations, particularly regarding the financial position, where we called upon Congress and the Postal Service to really take a look at this business model and do what they can to equalize revenue and expenses. Ideally, do a little of both, right? So you can make more money and reduce your costs and that is the only way that they're really going to be able to, you know, achieve their mission in an appropriate way.
And getting Congress to think long term about anything financial is an uphill battle, I guess, too. I can say that. Maybe you can't.
It certainly is a challenge, I think, for all of us.
Lori Rectanis is Director of Physical Infrastructure Issues at the Government Accountability Office. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, Tom.